Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it is me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay.
Rachel Lindsay of the Dallas Oak Cliff Lindsays. That's such a great song out there.
Jeez. I can only... Do you wake up in the morning singing? Do you sing in the shower?
I never do.
You never sing in the shower? Now, if there's going to be a place to sing, that's it.
I don't. In the shower, I plot out different scenarios.
Oh, so you do your best thinking in the shower.
I think. Sometimes I plot out different scenarios. I daydream.
Okay.
You know? I got a lot on my plate. Huh?
Well, I was going to say, are you a long shower taker? Because it sounds like you are.
Not really. I used to
be. I'm not either. I get in and out.
Now I'm getting in, I'm getting out. You know, it's over, you know. It's not as big of a deal to be in there a long time as I used to be, you know. I used to love a good shower. Now I don't have the time anymore.
Brian treats it like it's a massage parlor. Like he's in there. Okay, Jesus, I guess that's here. Wow. That sounds. Didn't mean it like that. Robert meant Kraft. More so he takes his time. He takes his time.
Do you know what happens? Happens in massage parlors, Rachel? You know what they do in massage parlors?
I meant more he treats it like a spa. Wow. Is what I meant to say.
Like, it's crazy. Where's all the lotion going? Oh, Brian's in the shower. I'm trying to say.
Okay, stop. You know, They'll take it and run with it. You said you got a lot on your plate?
I got new enemies.
Who?
Racking up the enemies. My new enemies are Raptors Twitter.
Wait, why?
So I tweeted earlier, what do Raptors fans think about Pascal Siakam now?
Is he not hot right now?
No, he's good. He's playing good. He had been playing bad before. The Raptors fans took this in a way. What are you talking about? Are you trying to get people to slander? I swear on my dad, I wasn't. I was having a discussion with a friend of mine. It was about the fact that they were on Pascal Siakam's ass a little while ago, but now he's balling. So I'm like, yo, how do y'all feel about Pascal Siakam now? And they got mad. So now it's on.
I don't understand this. Why is that? How is there a bad way to take that? Why couldn't you simply be like, oh, he's doing so much better. We think he's great. This is, you know, like we're invested in him. We, you know what I mean? Like he was off. Now he's the Pascal that we know. I don't understand the issue. And also, who knew they had such a big Twitter?
They are, you know, Warriors. Shout out to the Raptors. The Raptors, to be honest with you, are a fantastic fan base for their NBA team. But now they're toxic. And Siakam, who is a max contract player, better earn every dollar because now I'm on it. Now I'm there. Yeah. My penny's been up at an all-time level these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, who's next week? Like, I feel like every week, you know what I mean? Like, well, shout out to the Reddit because not like you're no longer on them. You're on the Raptors now. Raptors fans.
Yeah, the Reddit is my indifference. It's indifference with the Reddit.
He loves it. Every time he says it, it's with a smile, you guys. He says it with a smile.
The Reddit has earned indifference. Somebody very important to me said, the opposite of love isn't hate. It's indifference.
Mm.
You know? Plus, we got the Ringerverse fans are so amazing. And they love us so much.
I don't like this. And I don't like where this is going.
They have such a great community over there where they talk and discuss things in non-toxic ways.
Wow.
So the Ringerverse family is
I'm getting offended. I don't want to hear you talk about the Ringerverse. See, I'm getting offended. It's almost like you're cheating on us.
Why are you, and it's me and the
Thought Warriors because Midnight we boys, talk pew, about pew. Controversial things on here. Uh-huh. Y'all talk about a fantasy world. That is fake over there. You know what I mean? You know? Like y'all talk about things that aren't real. Fantasize, you'll nerd out over there. It's a community built around a certain topic, and it's different. We challenge people. We make people upset. We incite emotion from people. That's what makes us special. The Thought Warrior community is different, okay? You keep that Ringerverse stuff over there.
All right.
This is home.
Here's the thing.
This is home.
If you don't think that people get emotional about who
over
fake
world.
Fight, between it's Batman fake. And Spider-Man that you've never been on. We get that's maybe the most emotional.
Man, this is the real world. You Spider-Man. Over there in the metaverse.
Well, but here's the thing, though. It's all real, right? We really create these characters, and then there's a mythology around them that we really enjoy. It's real to me, baby. Ringiverse. And, you know, it's
man,
fun.
Come home. Come home.
I am home. I am home. But, you know, I got two houses, baby. One on each. You got, look, what are you talking about?
I got what? Home? I left Bachelor Happy Hour.
You're on Extra, though. On Extra. And look. Ooh,
it's not a podcast.
If anybody has had their other's life bleed into the life of the podcast, it's been you. You sent that man to the soup kitchen. By the way, now all of the Bachelor fans who might as well be fucking KKK members, it's a toxic group over there. They hate me because I supported you over Soup Kitchen, and then I got hate.
People, that's the clan side of things.
People literally pulled up old shit that I did and were trying to get me out the paint.
Oh, they were looking up dirt on you? Oh, yeah. That's right, because your Halloween costume.
Right.
Man. They're ruthless over there in Bachelor World. It's a force.
You set them on.
I got out, though. We survived.
You're out. You feel like you're out of batch? You're not out of batch.
I'm always going to. Well, no. Like, the show doesn't call me to do anything. You know, I don't want to be tied to anything with The Bachelor, really. I will forever be the first Black Bachelorette, and I accept that. But I got to be honest with you, to steal your phrase. Last week, I was offended. They did Celebrity Family Feud. And they did like the Sharks versus the Talk. They had Saved by the Bell. They had like all these, they had the NFL moms versus NFL players. And they had the Bachelors and the Bachelorettes. They didn't ask me.
You felt
away. I love Family Feud.
Wow.
That's like one of my favorite shows. And the only reason I know is because I was there to interview Steve Harvey. And everybody thought I was there to be on the show. So they were like, oh, are you coming upstairs? And I was like, oh, is that where Steve is? And they were like, nah, the show, The Bachelor's Bachelorette. I was so, I don't want to be tied to anything, but man, that's something I wanted to be a part of. My little feelings were hurt.
So who did they have up there? Who they do? Who's the Bachelorette?
They had Michelle, who I love.
She was the latest Bachelorette, right?
Yes.
The Black Bachelorette.
Yes. They had people who they were promoting for their stuff. Like, if I still had Bachelor Happy Hour, I would have been on it. So they had their podcast hosts. They had their most recent couples on there.
Right.
But you know what? They didn't even invite Brian, which I feel a certain way about. Brian has a podcast through Bachelor.
Does he?
They invited his partner, but they didn't invite him. I feel a certain way about that.
His partner is Dolphin.
Mike Johnson.
Yeah. The Dolphin.
Yeah,
guy.
Mike Johnson. They didn't invite Brian.
Or was it a sea lion? It was the sea lion that he was posing with that got him.
Or was it a
up.
Seal?
It was. Oh, we did this. I can't remember now, but he was next to an ocean animal.
I thought it was a dolphin.
It might have been a dolphin. I took a lot of, we talked about him. So that's his partner on the podcast. So you wanted to be on that. You would have done that had they called.
But at least invite my husband. Like, Brian shouldn't be punished for me. They should have had Brian on there.
They kicked you out of batch. They didn't kick you out. You left. You left. Wait a minute. You left batch.
I didn't.
And now that you've left batch, now this is kind of like, this happens sometimes when you leave a situation and then they do cool stuff.
Yeah.
I remember one time I wanted to switch because they had year-round school and I wanted to switch and be on track C, right, instead of track B. And then I left track B and went to track C. And then track B, they decided that they were all going to go to camp. And I was so fucking pissed. I was like, nobody told me that Mr. Neubauer, rest in peace, that Mr. Neubauer's track B class was going to go to camp. I switched to track C and we didn't go to camp. It was terrible. They went to camp without you, Rach.
I'm not.
They went
when
to
you
camp.
Put it that way, it hurts even more.
Yeah. Who won? Do you know who won?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Do you miss anything about your batch affiliation? Do you miss it? Do you miss batch?
I miss being able to get to do stuff like that.
Right.
You know, through the ABC network connection. But there's not a thing I miss about The Bachelor. Not one thing. Not one thing.
Really? Do the fans still speculate? Do you still get any of the Bachelash?
No. I mean, maybe every once in a while I'll get a hater in my comments or my DMs, but it's nothing like what we went through this time last year. Can you believe that was a year ago?
It's a year ago. A whole year. Look, check this out. I went to CarMax because I'm looking for a new car. So check this out. So I'm getting a new car, right? I'm gonna get that Mercedes that I've been looking at, that GLE, the big Mercedes truck.
Okay.
So I went to the Mercedes place and they only had one of them black on black. It's like $130,000. I was like, maybe good not grief. That was the sound I made when he said the price. He was like 130. I was like, you know what I mean? That's the sound. So, you know, I was dealing with this guy. He said, you can find those cars, maybe certified pre-owned or something like that, a little cheaper, you know, for 190, something like that. So went to CarMax. They had one. I saw Chris Harrison at the CarMax.
No, you didn't.
So I did, looking at a Camry, the 96 Camry.
I believed you until you said that. Stop.
He was like, he came out, he was looking around, and he looked very haggard, right? Like, not, he hadn't shaved in a while. And the guy was standing, you didn't have to stand 6 feet, but the guy was standing 12 because it looked like, you know, he had like a little alcohol on his breath. And he was like, I need a car just to be able to get me to and fro, you know, the job that I have splitting stones on the beach. That's what he does now, breaking rocks.
The way you have taken this and run with this, the soup kitchen, I'm actually surprised you haven't tried to develop some type of idea, some type of show, some type of movie that is related to the soup kitchen. Yeah. You know, the untold story. The life after.
Life after. He was on top of the world. Until one fateful interview sent him to dun 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 the soup kitchen. You know what we should call it? You know, he wouldn't go to a soup kitchen though. You know where he would go?
Where?
He would go to a soup plantation. That's where he would go. Soup plantation. What's wrong with him? How was your weekend?
Man, my weekend was unproductive.
You did nothing.
But I just have a lot that's coming up that I have to do and I didn't get anything done. So I, you know, hung out with friends. I went on a hike Saturday morning. Beautiful. There was a point that I actually got scared. I'm never hiking the same after what you said about mountain lions. And it's always a thought. I never thought about it before. Ignorance is bliss. Right. Now I think about it constantly. But I went on a hike over in the Brentwood area. Lovely. With a friend. Good conversation. Exercise. Came back. Had a great brunch with Kalika. It rained. We saw a beautiful rainbow. And then I went and watched the fight later that night.
What kind of bullshit is this? We saw a beautiful rainbow. You did have a great weekend. How was the rainbow? Was it like
rainbow? We saw a double rainbow. No, we couldn't see the other side of it, but then another one popped up. So we saw two rainbows, which is like a really good sign. It's a beautiful sign. It's a great way to end our brunch. And then I went to the fight. And then Saturday, I had Sunday fun day. Let me tell you something. Sundays at Harriet's is popping.
Yeah.
Didn't know. You have to realize I moved here during COVID. So I'm still learning the workings of LA. So I roll up there. It's all quiet downstairs. Come off the elevator. Immediately, I just hear the music.
It's us.
You know what I mean? Like 2:30.
2:30. Okay, yeah.
Okay. And it was popping. And then I happened to run into my homegirl that I hadn't seen in years. It was her birthday. I saw some other friends that were there with her birthday party. Oh my gosh, it was great. I went with Justin. You know Justin.
Justin.
From Lafayette.
Just having a fun time out there. That's good. Mm-hmm. Harriet's is good. Harriet's goes up, man. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have you know that.
Let's have a joint birthday party up there.
I'm down for it. I might be out of town. Doing the whole 50 Cent show during my birthday, though. We're trying to work it. I'm not sure how it's going to go.
Oh.
Have you know, on January 11th of this year, a Dutch pharaoh was jogging on a trail near California's Pyramid Lake.
Man. He was
filming bluebirds on his phone. When something came out of the brush in his peripheral vision. At first, he thought the large dun animal was a dog wandering off a leash. But then when he turned, He saw a big pair of yellow feline eyes staring at him. He says, it didn't take long to snap into reality that it was a fucking cougar. Guess what? This year, mountain lion. So you're being vigilant. You're on the lookout. And therefore, you're safer. I feel like I've done my job. Because if this was you in this mountain lion attack last year, mountain lion would have came up to you, licked you, jumped on you, and all kinds of stuff like that. But now that would never happen. You're looking for him, and you should be.
I was, and I was looking for what I would grab if I saw one. Like, there were rocks on the trail. I was like, okay, I don't have a stick, but there's these huge rocks. Like, I could pick up these rocks and throw them at him.
I got to give you one of my walking sticks now.
But honestly, what am I going to do with the walking stick? The mountain lion's going to bite that stick, and then he's going to bite me.
It depends on how to turn. Look, let's be honest. If the mountain lion wants you gone, you're gone. But the reality is, at least you have.
I enjoy hikes. So you are terrifying me.
Yeah. No, you're going to be fine. There's no mountain lion coming. I wish I could say that. Okay. Let's take a break. We'll come right back. Big deal of the day.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
We were going back and forth about what the big deal of the day is, so we're just going to give you the most recent story, which is the fact that Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley was suspended for at least the 2022 season, a whole year, for gambling. Wow. The NFL released a statement Monday announcing his suspension, saying that he gambled on games over a 5-day stretch during November 2021, when he was on the non-football injury list. He was dealing with the mental health issues. Non-football injury list, and he was gambling. He stepped away from football on Halloween, saying he needed to get his personal issues in order. In a tweet, he said after the suspension was announced, he says he bet a total of $1,500 on gambling and that he does not have a gambling problem. The NFL determined that Ridley placed multi-legged parlay bets involving 3, 5, and 8 games that included the Falcons to win. The Falcons are his team. So they released a statement. There's nothing more fundamental to the NFL's success and to the reputation of everyone associated with our league than upholding the integrity of the game. This is what Roger Goodell said. This is the responsibility of every player, coach, owner, game official, and anyone else employed in the league. Your actions put the integrity of the game at risk, threatened to damage public confidence in the professional football, and potentially undermine the reputations of your fellow players. Your thoughts? You like football?
I like football. I was trying to find out, what to compare this to. You know, has there been another player? He seems to have been the biggest player that this has happened to, but was there another player who did the same thing, and how long were they suspended? I didn't quite know. I don't know. And maybe he is the first to have done it in this way, to be a player of this caliber. And so they're making an example out of him. I don't know. Now, he does have the option to appeal it, and maybe they will reduce the suspension after the appeal. I don't know. A couple of things stand out to me in this. One, at the time that he decided to bet on games, he was dealing with a mental health issue. I personally feel like that should be taken into consideration. I don't know what he was going through, but it was enough to where he could not perform his job. And he needed to stay at home and work some things out. I don't know if his mental health issue affected the decisions that he was making. He only did it for 5 days. He only bet $1,500. And he bet on the Falcons. So let's be honest, we're not good. So he bet for them to win. So, I mean, I can't
say
that he was trying to make money.
With a mental health issue would bet on the Falcons to win? Is that what you're saying?
He He wasn't in the game. It's not like you can't accuse him of throwing the game. He wasn't in it. He was betting on them to win. They had a losing record. So, I mean, these don't even sound like this was a logical bet. It doesn't sound like it was a smart bet to make. I don't even know if they won those games that he bet on. But I don't know. 5 days of betting, only $1,500. He was clearly going through some things. In all seriousness, to me, the punishment does not fit the crime here. And I don't like it. And even he posted, he's like, man, a whole year though. I'm hoping that his attorney, agent, whoever is handling this case for him, appeals it. And I'm hoping that it's something that they reduce, because this just seems to be a little outrageous at this point. I mean, if you can lie about your COVID test and put other people, what he did didn't put anybody in jeopardy. If you can lie about your COVID test and put other people's health in jeopardy and have your team co-sign for you and lie for you and then only miss the days that you had to quarantine and come right back out and play, no suspension, no time off, I feel like this punishment is just a little too harsh.
And of course, we're alluding to the Aaron Rodgers situation.
Aaron Rodgers, yes, let's call it by name.
Right. So according to Adam Schefter, better known as Shefty, according to Adam Schefter, these are the NFL players that have been suspended for gambling. 1963, Alex Karras. 1963, Paul Hornung. 1983, Art Schittler. 2019, Josh Shaw, which I didn't realize. And 2022, Calvin Ridley. Now, apparently, Alex Karras and Paul Hornung. The guy from Notre Dame.
Hornung.
Why can't I say Hornung? Hornung. Why can't I say his name? Apparently, those two guys were suspended for the whole year,
1963.
So what difference does that make?
I don't know. It's just too long to count.
So
it's like 59 years ago.
It's a long time ago. So apparently they got suspended for a long time. Okay. I will say something else. Before looking this up, I'm pretty sure Alex Karras played the father on Webster.
I didn't watch Webster.
Just as a tidbit, I'm pretty sure he played George Papadopoulos, the adopted father of Webster Long, Emmanuel Lewis. Yes, that's how I know the Alex Karras name. He was a fantastic football player, but I knew him as a kid because he was Webster's dad, the Papadopoulos family. I'm telling you, the 80s were a lot different. All you had to do was adopt a little nigga and you had a fucking sitcom. Webster. Fucking, what was the other one?
Different Strokes.
That was enough. It was enough.
The fact that there were two shows that were like hit shows at that. Hits.
That was enough of a premise. Hey, we adopted a black. Gotta make a show about it. Because you never know the hijinks that can ensue after adopting.
Different Strokes, though.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'll be honest with you. Both shows hit. And both shows actually took their premise and made good on it. It made you think, Jesus Christ. And I would say the Different Strokes inspired a generation of white people who then grew up and adopted all of these black kids.
White saviors. He was the first.
White saviors. He was the safe. Mr. Drummond. Ooh. Okay, anyway. There have been people that have been suspended for a year. So it's so funny that I read this exactly differently. I'm actually offended that during his mental health leave that he was actually betting on games.
You don't know what he was going through.
I don't know what he was going through, but it
seems...
These
weren't logical bets.
Like, it seems... For some reason, it seems distasteful to me that he takes time off and he's then dropping parlays on his squad and shit like that. It's like, it's a little nuts. He took a mental health break just so he could bet. And by the way, I can't be mad at him. I can't be mad at the penalty because these guys know that this is one of the gigantic no-nos of professional sports.
Right.
This is one that I'm pro player all the time, but this is one I'm like, if you're betting, and he bet on his own team. He bet on his own squad. So, I mean, to me personally, I didn't have a problem with this. If it's $1,500, that seems like, you know, that seems like he would be pissed off. He would be pissed off, like, damn, it's not that much money. I don't have a gambling problem. I'll put these bets in. But to me, this is unknown sure. No-no when you're playing professional sports. You can't do this.
But, like, you're right. And that's how I first read it. Like, at first I was like, okay, like, everybody knows that you're not supposed to do this. It was November 2021. Basketball was going on. If you really needed something to bet on, there was a whole nother professional sport that you could have been betting on. I thought like that at first. Then when I saw mental health, I stopped. Because I don't know what he was struggling with. I don't know if he was okay. This seems like erratic behavior. He's never done it before. I don't know if he gambles on other sports, but he's never bet on the NFL before. It just seemed like he wasn't all there. And if that is the case, then hopefully that comes up in the appeal and they can work this thing out. Because it doesn't sound like it should be a whole year. It doesn't sound like it was strategic. 5 days. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems very, very much like erratic behavior. And I need more to the story.
So let's say that he comes back and he says, my mental health was being, like, I was under compromised mental health and that led to me gambling.
Mm-hmm.
You'd buy that.
I need more. Like, in what way was your mental health compromised? In what, like, what was, because he had to have a reason. He didn't just say, I'm struggling for mental health issues. Like, it was the point to where it was debilitating, which is why he could not work. So during these, it's like, I would want, if he's able to, doctor's notes to talk to whoever you were talking to. Like, what were you going?
So you can gamble on the games.
What? No. But like, what was it that he was going through? I don't know. I mean, mental health is such a broad thing. And I, who knows? And so I don't know if the NFL did its full research when it comes to this, or just saw that he gambled, saw that he bet on his own sport, his own team, and was like, nope, this is the rule. I'm hoping in the appeal this comes out. So I'm a little sympathetic to Calvin Ridley. And a year just seems like a lot for 5 days with such a little amount of money sorry team.
On a sorry team. So this is my whole thing. My whole thing is the fact that, so I look at this, and I think the way the NFL doles out its other suspensions, domestic violence suspensions, suspensions of DUIs and things like that, it seems like this is being taken a lot more seriously than those things. Yes. And I'll tell you why. Because this is probably the issue that's the closest to the NFL's heart in terms of its brand. It is. Because the one thing they can't have people thinking, they can have people thinking that all the football players are thugs. They can have the people thinking that all the football players are out of control. But in order for them to continue to make billions and billions of dollars, they can't have people thinking that the games aren't real. They can't have people thinking that the games are fixed, or that the fixes end, or that players are dogging it, or that they're shaving points, or that they're doing anything to bow down to gamblers. So that's probably why they came down so hard on him, and not just him, but the guy who played Webster's dad back in 1963.
59 years ago.
But look, there's precedence for it. Like, you gamble, you get suspended a year. It's like they've done it before. It's not
but
like,
you bring up a really good point. There are more serious crimes that have happened. And I get you. What you say makes total sense. And it just shows other issues that are wrong with the NFL. But the fact that, you know, players can be on camera hitting someone, on voicemail, harming a child, whatever it is, just like all these certain situations time and time again, and they're suspended for Deflategate, 4 games here, 6 games here, but the gambling is a whole year. It just, and you're right, there is precedent. Back 59 years ago, they suspended two people for a year, and Josh Shaw was suspended for 2020. So, I mean, very recently. But it just seems sometimes that these punishments are very arbitrary in nature.
Interesting. Remember, they suspended Sean Payton, my ex-coach, for a whole year. Bounty Gate.
Soon to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Maybe. We'll see. Probably so. He probably will, because the Cowboys ain't going to do nothing. I would say the Cowboys fans are right up there with Raptors fans and how terrible they are.
This is not a free-for-all to jump on the Cowboys. Will you be a Cowboys fan if Sean Payton comes? That's, you just said, my coach.
Fuck no. Hell no. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be all the way honest with you.
Man.
Jesus Christ himself could get me to root for the Cowboys. Never.
Don't challenge Jesus like that.
Jesus comes to me right now. Jesus says, Van, my son. He tells me a parable about the man who was too proud. And he says, now at the end of this parable, the point is, I'm right there with Jesus the whole time. I'm like, yeah, man, you spitting right now. You spitting. The whole time, he says to me, Van, the point of this parable is that you must be a Dallas Cowboy fan. Get the fuck out of here.
He's just going to curse in front of Jesus.
Jesus, I don't think Jesus cares about cursing. You think Jesus cares about cursing?
No.
Name something that you feel like we care about that you don't think God cares about.
When you say we, you mean like the world?
Humans. This is Van's very serious question of the week. Right now, we'll do it. And I want this as a breakout. Trudy and Donnie. Donnie was talking so much shit about Trudy before she jumped on. It's so crazy. It was so sad.
None of y'all believe that.
No, the Thought Warriors won't, because they love you more than any of us.
They love
you. Put together, they love you, Donnie.
They love Donnie. They're gonna love Donnie till they hear some of Donnie's more problematic takes. You know, hear Donnie's more problematic takes.
We'll have to start putting him on more.
So. We're gonna put Donnie on there. We're gonna make it till everybody's divisive. Trudy's divided everyone. Fuck it, they're against me. Donnie, I just gotta find something on Donnie.
We gotta name it, because you got Trudy's corner, but we had to have Donnie's something.
Donnie's dungeon.
I knew he was gonna say dungeon.
Hold on. This is what
I don't like him. I don't like
we're
that.
We're gonna
dark
do Donnie's
song.
Dungeon, where Donnie talks all about BDSM. That's Donnie's dungeon. That'll get people off. Donnie's dungeon. We throw to Donnie, shirtless, nipple clamps. Donnie talks all about BDSM and the latest that's going on. Whips, you know, leather. All kinds of shit. Leather.
Sex positivity.
Yeah, you're right.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're already on it, Donnie. Yeah. Good job.
Y'all shaming.
I'm not shaming at all.
We're naming how it goes.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm with it. But the reality is that I think some would turn on you, Donnie. I think they would. Anyway. What is one thing that you think that we human beings care so much about that God actually doesn't care about?
God or Jesus?
Come on, man. I don't have time for the whole semantics game. God, Jesus. It's the same guy, same
okay,
lady,
cursing
same
was
person.
A good one. That might have been my answer. Cursing.
You think it's cursing?
It's cursing. I'm tempted to also name premarital sex.
Well, he's on record with that one, but go ahead.
Listen. I guess cursing really, I'm trying to. Oh, okay. I was gonna say premarital sex, and I was also gonna say homosexuality.
Homosexuality and premarital sex. So you think homosexuality and premarital sex are two things that God doesn't care, that humans care about, but God doesn't care about?
I think they put way too much emphasis on it in a way that, like, for example, I'm just going to stick with homosexuality. You know, when you get the fire and brimstone type preachers and pastors, they shut you out as if you're not welcome. And that's not the message of Jesus. He welcomed everybody in. And that's what I mean about too much emphasis on it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they put too much emphasis on it, where they shun people out and push them away from the church when it's all about welcoming people in.
Right. Right. It's very interesting.
They're going to get mad at us for being preachy.
I'm not preaching at all.
What's the one you were going to... Oh, well, you said it, cursing. That was a good one.
Well, cursing is the one that I don't think God cares about cursing at all. I just don't think so. I think God watches Beverly Hills Cop and I think he laughs. She laughs. I think it laughs. I think it says, hey, man, that's funny. But But we get hung up on it, curse words and all of that stuff like that. I think the little stuff, though, does God care if you speed? Huh? Does God care?
But is that something that we think he cares about?
I think that sometimes we confuse our little societal treaties with morality. Like, does
God
care
about sermon about not speeding? You know what I mean? You gotta go deeper than that. You gotta talk about like stuff that like you're really told is wrong that you really don't think is that big of a deal.
Well, in my life, I was told everything was gonna get me judged by God. Everything was gonna get judged by God. Like, Van, you're playing too much Nintendo. What do you think God would think about that? I'm like, I don't think he's got an opinion. Well, look, here's the thing. Let's talk about it.
Knew I had your attention.
So let's discuss it.
Should we bring Donnie's Dungeon in on this?
Donnie's Dungeon. This is Donnie's Dungeon. And it's Donnie, he's dancing around like this. Donnie's Dungeon. So funny. We turned Donnie's whole segment into like a leather bar. I'm trying to think. He probably frowns on it. I mean, we've been told pretty clearly, right? That lust is one of the bad ones. So I'd imagine that it's frowned upon, you know. And the crazy thing is, I don't like to think about it because God sees everything.
And you've
just never seen a more pathetic sight than a man.
I'm sorry.
You've never seen it. Because there's that, like, right after it's over, you're sitting there and you got, man, why did I do that? You're like, now you got to deal with it. And all the feeling is gone. And you're just like, you look around. For some reason, your room looks messier. The lights look a little dimmer. You're hungry. You're just very, it's like, why did I do that, man? God damn, I'm pathetic. Okay. Let's take a break. We have another very serious story to talk about. Let's take a break. We'll come right back.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Okay, so WNBA star Brittany Griner, one of the best players in the WNBA, one of the best players in basketball for a long time, going back to her college days at Baylor, has been detained, in Russia. The Russian Federal Customs Service announced that her detention has been ongoing. She was stopped at the, I'm not even going to try to say the name of that airport, so no. They say that a sniffer dog searched her, the carry-on luggage that she had, and found vape cartridges, containing hashish oil. Stayed on Russian news, then identified the player as Mr. Griner. She's been over there for a while. She has been there for at least several days. Some people are saying up to 3 weeks that she's been there.
Yeah.
She last posted on February 5th. February 5th, she last posted. Okay. It's unclear whether or not Russia has, what a targeted her to get leverage against the United States. So people are actually saying that. And on Saturday, the State Department released an updated advisory urging American citizens to leave Russia immediately, given the potential for harassment against U.S. citizens by Russian government security officials. Your thoughts, Rachel?
Well, I didn't know some people are saying that it might be a couple of days since it happened. Everything that I was seeing said that it had been weeks since she has been detained. And I don't even know. And I feel like we should know, because did they date that video that we saw? There's a video going around of the actual moment that she was detained.
Most people are pretty sure that it's been about 3 weeks since Brittany Griner has been detained.
Which is incredible to me. She has a wife. She's a family. And I'm just wondering, one, you know, what has the wife, did the wife know that she had been detained? Did that her team, she's been playing in Russia for years. Where has her team been? I don't know where she was headed when she was going to the airport, but why hasn't her team said anything? Why are we just now hearing out from the WNBA? I'm just trying to understand where, it's one thing if Russia was late to let us know that they had detained her, but when it comes to her family and friends, were they not concerned that something had happened to her? 3 weeks is an extremely long time. I think I look at this and it's absolutely ridiculous. It's really alarming and it's really scary, because Brittany might be one of the more famous people for this to happen to, but this is an ongoing issue in Russia where U.S. citizens are detained. They're accused of committing some sort of crime without any credible evidence, and they're held for years. She's facing up to 10 years for the charges that are over her head at the moment. And I went to the U.S. embassy site in Russia, and one of the things, it enlists certain things that they cannot do. And one of the things they cannot do is provide legal advice. They can't get you out of jail. It's basically like, I feel like they can't do anything for you. And so I'm very concerned when I see this with Brittany, because I'm wondering, how can the U.S. help? And what even made me even more nervous is that, one, this is an ongoing issue, but then recently there are two American citizens that are currently in jail in Russia. Their names are Trevor Reed and Paul Whelan, two white men. And one has 9 years, and I think another one has 10 years. I'm sorry if I'm getting that wrong, but they have been in a jail for years at this point. One of them, as far as June 2021, has been asking the President Biden to help. He's called on President Biden to aggressively discuss and resolve the issue of U.S. citizens being detained for political purposes in Russia. And he asked President Biden to discuss this when he met with Vladimir Putin last year. And I think it was, in June 2021. He went to President Biden went to go talk to President Putin at a summit. He urged him to discuss this because this is something that has been going on. I'm going to get it right, actually. Trevor Reed has 9 years. Paul Whelan has 16 years. They have been in jail over in Russia for years, and the U.S. has not been able to get them out. They say they were wrongly convicted. There's no evidence against them, and they're still sitting in jail. And this makes me terrified for Brittany Griner, because I feel very hopeless when it comes to her case. And I don't know if there's much the U.S. can do. It seems that Russia is in a habit of unlawfully detaining, arresting and convicting U.S. citizens. I don't know if it's to send some message out. I don't know if it's because of pure hatred to America and its citizens. But now we have Brittany Griner over there who, I mean, if anything else is telling, it's the fact that she's been there for 3 weeks and we're just now finding out. I'm very, very concerned. And I really hope that something can be done to not just get her home, but to the other two gentlemen that I mentioned as well.
So this is a bad situation for her.
Yeah.
She's kind of fucked right now. I'm not going to lie. Like, if there's some sort of special dispensation made because she is a big star, that's going to have to come from us. If anyone's concerned about Brittany Griner, then you need to keep Brittany Griner's name in the public consciousness so that some politician makes a big show about going to get her. I have a sneaking suspicion here that the politician that is going to make the big show of getting Brittany Griner back is going to be President Trump.
Why?
Because these are the types of gestures that make sense for someone like him to, the same thing with A$AP Rocky, that makes sense for someone like him to do in order to make grand gestures that somehow have more political weight than any of the small or less obvious things that he can do that damages people's lives. These are the type of things that you point to and it looks like this big shiny object where you go, how can I be a racist when I got Brittany Griner back? How can I be a racist when I got A$AP Rocky out of a Swedish jail or whatever it was? And with his relationship with Russia, I personally think that if we were in the campaign, in full campaign swing right now, it would have already happened. Now, obviously, there are some more pressing things that are going on over in Russia right now, as far as how it relates to Ukraine, that he, that, you know, is, you probably can't get Putin on the phone. But when you look at somebody who swoops in a situation like this and makes a big grand gesture to try to get Brittany Griner back, you look at Donald Trump probably being lined up to do that, and then using her as a shiny gold piece to the rest of Black America to say, look, I went and got a very prominent Black American back. Now, having said that, it behooves Americans or any person from anywhere, it behooves people who are foreign nationals to this country to just be careful on the things that you do and what it is that you do when you're in other places. We've all seen Locked Up Abroad. We've all watched these situations. Different places have different laws and different penalties and different things that that they take very seriously. And we can't act like over here stateside that we haven't put people in jail without trials, that we haven't held people in situations that we treat foreign nationals the same way that we. A lot of people pointed this out when we talked about the refugee crisis in Ukraine. A lot of people point out the way we treat our immigrants. And the way we treat people who are immigrants here, and the way we treat people who are trying to get here, and the way we frankly treat refugees who are trying to come here. So I don't think it's necessary. That's not in any way for me to let Rush off the hook. But it's just it's a point of fact. Now, what we will do here in Higher Learning is pay very close attention to this story and probably provide you guys with the information on what it is that can be done in terms of Brittany Griner's situation. Like, what is it possible for us to do? Like, what is it possible to do to get her home? But right now, I think this possible situation is going to go on even longer than Russia's invasion of Ukraine. I think this is going to, I think she's going to be there for a while. And
she's absolutely going to be there for a while.
And everyone that I've talked to, says that knows about this. I've talked to a couple of people who've been in the State Department before, and they've said that short of her being used for some sort of political bargaining chip, it's not a fantastic situation for her. And they could see her being there for a while. One guy said, I could see her being there for another year. I could see them deciding to let her out next week because it might curry some favor with the West. He's just like, you just never know. It's a very unpredictable regime. But
I mean, when I look at what's, I know she's got a bigger platform and I know that she's a name and she's calling attention to it. And let's be honest, she's not just a superstar here in the States. She's a superstar in Russia, which is why you would think that she would have a little bit more latitude when it comes to the situation, because she's been playing there for years. She's a big deal. WNBA is a big deal on the international side. They do a much better job of promoting the sport than we do and honoring the sport than we do here in the States. So I guess I am a little shocked by that as well, but which makes me think that it is more politically motivated as to why she's being detained, the timing of everything, which is why we're just not finding out the information so late. But I do hope that when I was researching this and then also seeing that there's other stories of the two that I mentioned, and I'm sure countless more, I hope that this is something that brings awareness to the fact that that this is an ongoing issue of Russia detaining U.S. citizens in an unlawful way. And they're just over there. And it's just their families talking about it. But as a nation, we aren't necessarily doing anything to bring those citizens home.
Yeah. And we should say that I think the league that she plays in, there's a different league that she plays in over there. And a lot of WNBA players make the bulk of their living playing not in the WNBA, playing in Russia, playing in Italy, playing in Spain. And, you know, maybe if there was a league here that they could play in and not have to go and be overseas players, then maybe we could avoid some situations like this, which is one more situation, which is one more example of why maybe we should talk about growing the WNBA and what we can do to make sure that their league here, where they're from, is as strong as some of the leagues abroad. Secretary Antony Blinken says that the U.S. is ready to give every possible assistance to detained citizens. He said, there's only so much I can say given the privacy considerations at this point, but wherever an American is detained anywhere in the world, of course, we stand ready to provide every possible assistance, and that includes in Russia. We don't know exactly what that means, but I think it would be a hell of a time for them to tell us exactly what that actually means.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's, huzzah, a toast to breakfast.
All right, I'm happy. There's been a new invention. Have you heard of it?
No.
You heard of Sticky Banks?
Man, don't play with me.
Have you heard of Sticky Banks?
Sadly, yes.
Trudy, jump on.
Come on, Trudy.
Trudy, what's up? Happy birthday, number one, Trudy. Happy birthday.
Oh my gosh, Trudy, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Trudy.
Yes, my birthday. I'm old.
Trudy, how old are you?
Trudy, don't say that to us.
I'm 27.
Oh, I'm 27.
Oh, you're 20.
That's old.
You feel like you need to get a man now?
No.
Trudy, don't answer that.
Absolutely not.
You thought about it. You don't need a man. Trudy, when do you see yourself settling down with a man with a good hairline?
When he can keep up with me.
Oh.
Thank you. Let him know, Trudy. That's 27 years of wisdom. Did you see that post that Jamel posted about that guy talking about, you know, these black men stay all talking about black women on their podcast?
Yes.
Everybody wants to be Kevin Samuels. Everybody thinks they're going to have their viral moment, and they want to do it by putting down black women. You saw it, Trudy.
I didn't see it.
I sure did. Jamel tore him up.
He basically said that if the woman was saying, she's like, you know, I got my career, my money's right, I got this and I got that, I've done all these things. She's like, the only thing missing from my life is a man. And they were laughing at that. And basically he said, well, now you just counted yourself out. Because I guess he was saying, you know, she's now undesirable because she's achieved all these things. So no man wants
her. That's exactly what he was saying.
I see it. Less high earning women are less attractive. It says right here. Maybe I'm a
I hate them.
Look what is created. Look what we are up against. And this is the dating pool. Me. It got pee in it. So again, when when somebody can keep up, that's when we will be running together.
I do have to say something here.
What?
Okay. So it says, why does it seem like there are so many podcasts/digital talk shows dedicated to belittling women, especially black women? Maybe I'm aware, but I don't see a lot of black women using their platform in similar ways to gaslight and demean black men. Okay.
Those are Jamel's words.
Okay. I will say this, though. I will say the cultural war not particularly on these platforms, because there's no womenosphere, right? And there's no womenosphere, right? There's no like womenosphere where like the man is. Oh, you know what? Let me stop beating around the bush. I think there is. I just don't think he gets as much shine. Like seriously, I think that women sitting around talking shit about men is never gonna go. Like, who gives a shit? Like, I think that there literally is. If you want to talk about podcasts led by women to where they just sit around and they talk about problems with guys, they talk about this, they talk about that, they talk about stuff. It's not as pointed and it's not as two men's faces. But if we're talking about people that get on there and talk shit about men or talk shit about black men and why black men can't, you see that on fucking TV shows. Like, you see that on TV shows, you can't find a good black man because of all of this stuff like that. Like, it's just not as big of a... I don't think people care as much when you do that. And, like...
Where are these shows that are bashing black men constantly?
Well, they're not bashing them, but they're...
But that's what these podcasts are doing. They are...
Okay. So, Waiting to Exhale. You saw that movie, right?
Yes, I did.
That's a whole movie about shitty black men.
Okay, it's not bashing black men. It's about four women and their relationships, because there's also a relationship that praises a black man in there, okay? Let's not forget Loretta Devine's relationship with the neighbor across the street.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is that I think that the reason why the inverse doesn't happen is because there's an understood, like, there's an understood reality that men are shitty. And so to say it, kind of isn't groundbreaking. Whereas when men are looking at women in their shittiness and talking to them this way, it seems extra, extra, extra sort of fucked up.
There's one thing to talk about an actual situation that happened to you. It's another thing to constantly put down and demean black women. And that is, and the clip that Jamel posted on her Twitter page is a clip of a person saying, because a black woman has achieved all these things in life and is successful, she is no longer desirable. That is on the attack of black women. That's not a particular situation of something that happened to you and a person you were in a relationship with. You are generalizing black women and saying if they have too much, they are undesirable. Now, where's that same energy for non-black women?
So here's my point, though. Did he say, okay, so did he say black woman in this clip? Is this specifically towards black women? Because here's my thing. A lot of these guys are talking to black women. They don't say black women. That is semantics. But let me tell you why I bring that up. The reason why I bring that up is because a lot of times when I hear criticisms of men, they specifically talk about black men. Like, they'll be like, I'll even hear criticisms that say, and I'm just being honest here, I can care less about it. I hear criticisms that specifically say, I'm gonna start trying to date white guys because black men are this, black men are that way, black men are this way. Now, I think it's probably because the power dynamic is different, you know what I mean, and black women haven't hurt, raped, abused, and all of that as much as black men. But just this discussion of like how fucked up black men are, you almost gotta, like, it's almost a joke, right? It's almost like a am I wrong about this? Like, I'm really asking. Am I?
I think so. I don't think that there, which is what she's asking for, is there a platform? And she's like, let me know if I'm missing something, where women are black women are constantly degrading black men. I think it's different if you're talking about a specific situation, but I don't think that there's anything out there where we're generally talking about black men in a negative way. Trudy?
I also will say, I think that this is what makes black women super particular as opposed to like other groups. I think that black women, for the most part, you grow up, you're dating black guys. I remember when I went to a private school, it was majority white people. I was like the only black kid in my class plenty of times. And, you know, kids are developing crushes. Nobody had a crush on me. So I thought, you know, I must be ugly. I'm in school with a bunch of like white guys, white people. So then when I went to public school, I'm like meeting Black people, hanging out with Black people, dating Black people. And that's just what I did. I think that at a certain point in like a Black woman's maturation process, you consider like, I don't have to necessarily stay within this group, especially when you go online and the narrative is that, you know, Black guys don't like Black girls. It's like, okay, well, if you don't like me, I'm gonna go ahead and see what's up with the next one, which is not a Black person.
Huh.
And so I think that that's where that comes from. I think it's just like a weird, like we don't, it's just like a weird dynamic and a weird set of circumstances that Black women deal with that no other group deals with.
I agree, which is the reason why I think Jamel's question, which is the reason why I think the question is a question. I think the question is the real crime to me and the Kevin Samuels, these guys, whoever else would be, was that they're adding to Black women's problems, that they're adding to their already, to all the shit they already have to deal with, right? That they're because they're complaining about women, complaining about what a woman should want. I've never even heard Kevin Samuels go, because you are a Black woman, this is what you're entitled to.
He doesn't have to. It's only Black women coming on the show.
Right. But do you see my point though? So like the point that I'm making is that like a lot of times these circles, like the circles that we're in, the toxicity is more about how you should be treating someone rather than how you are treating them. So like I personally believe that Black women deserve more grace and reverence, right? Any Black man who doesn't believe that is going to run afoul of that. Like I would never speak to a Black lady like that, no matter what. I think some of the shit that Trudy says is like really fucked up.
Trudy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know
what Trudy, do you feel attacked?
Trudy, do you feel attacked?
Are you attacked?
No. I think some of the stuff is fucked up. But I would never ever come at her about it because sisters got enough on their plate as it is. And I think sometimes when you don't have that, and also when you're just doing this whole man woman thing, when you're this, I'm gonna dictate what women need, it feels more toxic. But if we're talking about just getting on a podcast and talking shit about the opposite sex, y'all, there are plenty of female led podcasts that do that. Plenty of female. There's so much niggas that shit talk.
Are they dedicated to it?
I mean, it really doesn't matter. Like if you do a dating podcast, like I guess not. I guess if I was to answer the question, I guess not. But like even there are specific journalists out there that every time they write, it's about the issues with Black men. And I think the reason why it's not a big deal is because we realize that those issues are valid. So it's not like it's not that it's not being done. It's just that we don't care as much. And that I don't think we should do it to Black ladies, but it's definitely happening. And I think we should, to be honest with you, I think Black women are all out of grace, but I think Black men should have more grace and more respect for the women in their community than to add to their problems by like voicing these unintelligent opinions and throwing them out there and kikiing and joking about them. I think that's the thing. But back to Trudy real quick. Trudy, the guys that you've been talking about when you're talking about Trudy's Corner, are these guys Black?
Yes.
Trudy, why are you talking so bad about Black men?
Trudy.
See what I'm saying?
I mean, my dating history, with the exception of one person, have all been Black.
Was he white?
So it's just, yes, he was a white. He was a white.
What was his name?
Hey, ooh.
What was his name?
Brad. It was Brad.
Wow.
Is that a real name, Trudy?
No, it really is. I'll tell you guys exactly who after the pod, but I can't on the pod.
Okay. So let me tell you something. Tell me about, before we move on to Sticky Bangs, tell me about your relationship with Brad. How was it?
It was short-lived. It was in college, in one of my down periods of not dealing with the person I dealt with when I was in college.
Experimental.
And it was a complete change of pace. He was super, super nice, but I found him to constantly try to prove that, almost like talking shit about white people. And it was like weird to me. Like, I don't know if he was trying to like connect. He like emphatically told me how much he did not like white women, was not attracted to white women. And it just like got really weird to me. Like, I don't know if that, he had all his friends were black, which was fine, but it was strange. I started to wonder if I was like a fetish, and like, I think I was a fetish, because shortly after that, he went to a different school, and where he ended up dating a white girl who he may still be together with today. I don't really know because I haven't checked, but it was really strange.
So you went out there and you were dating Massachusetts' most wanted. And like you couldn't handle it. B-Rat Gluckman. Oh my God. You were actually dating B-Rat.
I'm not dating B-Rat.
Massachusetts, you were dating B-Rat Gluckman.
Is that who it was?
B-Rat. I will tell you guys at the pod, but you're gonna be like, what? And then I was like, for all this, like, I might as well be dealing with the niggas, so I ain't down.
Might as well.
You went back.
Might as well. All right. Sticky Bangs.
I feel you. Okay.
TikTok user Duna Golly. She posted a video of her blonde hair and a ponytail. And two faux strands of baby hair styled on her forehead. They had baby hair were down. She called it Sticky Bangs. Give me the audio.
So I've been doing this hairstyle for the past 2 days, and I'm just a little bit obsessed with it. Yeah. So I decided I'm going to make it a trend. I'm going to call it Sticky Bangs, and I love it.
So basically, she got baby hair.
She
laid down her edges, and she called it Sticky Bangs. I don't see the problem.
Man, no, I'm not. I can't. I don't see the issue. I'm not going to entertain this. You do see the issue.
I don't. She invented some new shit on y'all. This whole time,
I can't have a discussion about this. She's gonna be all this bullshit.
she invented some new shit on y'all. Trudy.
Oh, she did. So you ain't never seen somebody lay their edges before.
I ain't never seen it called Sticky Bangs.
Okay, renamed.
I never called it sticky.
Culturally appropriated. So what was it, and Trudy or Donnie, help me with this. What was it that they called cornrows? They changed the name.
Boxer braids. Kim Kardashian boxer braids. That's what they were called.
I mean, box braids is already a thing.
So
I never
when
heard
you change,
bags.
No,
so
they said
boxer braids. Oh, boxer
so
braids.
So when you change the name,
they called boxer braids.
So when you change the name, does that make it something new, Van?
We've been on this, nigga. We've been on this shit. Let's keep it all the way gangster. This is the shit we've been on. Nigga, Coke comes out, boom. Change one little molecule in that bitch, Pepsi. See what I'm saying? Shit be coming out, nigga. I was about to say,
crack.
Crack. Same shit. That's what we did,
said,
though.
They have
been on that cocaine.
Out. I was going to say, change, crack.
Crack. See, Oak Cliff, nigga. Oak Cliff. So shit changes and evolves. It changes. You know, they had coke. We got crack. Y'all got your edges laid down. They got sticky bangs. Sticky bangs all over the motherfucking world. Donnie Beecham coming straight from the dungeon. I'm telling you straight up. When I saw this, I laughed so hard. And the reason why I laughed so hard is because I know that this child is trolling. I don't believe this child.
She said it was a joke. I don't believe that.
I don't believe this child. I don't believe this child is trolling. She said it was literally a joke, and that she was being dumb in the moment. She's gonna call it Sticky Bangs. But I think there's a deeper issue here. And obviously the deeper issue is of cultural appropriation, but look how fed the fuck up we are. We are so fed up. This girl laid her edges. I guarantee you right now, she could walk through South Baton Rouge and get them same edges snatched out. If they see her, she an enemy now. She an op. We are so fed up with white people's shit as it relates to us. So fed up. Rachel, will it ever end?
So you're saying we probably normally would just ignore this. We'd be like, look at her. she's wild.
We feel like we can ignore it, right? Because as soon as we ignore it,
that's what
it,
I'm
right?
saying. Yeah.
Like, we were in a movie theater yesterday to watch The Batman, which I've seen twice, which is great, which you guys are not going to like, but I thought it was great.
I've already seen it. So stop.
Did you like it?
I actually did. I didn't. Wait, okay. Let's just detour for a second. I did not admit when I walked out. First of all, it's too long. I think we can all agree on that. But when I walked out, I was comparing it to The Dark Knight, which I just think is absolutely incredible. But then when I separated, this is where I'm not a blurred and I don't understand this. When I realized that we're meeting Batman before Dark Knight era, the beginnings of Batman, before he becomes, he's not like the Christian Bale, you know, like suave Bruce Wayne. I said, okay, I understand it. The special effects are insane. It's amazing. Right. Zoe Kravitz, incredible. What took her so long to be? It's crazy. It took her so long to be Catwoman. She's so meant for this role.
Cats.
When I started to separate it, then I was like, this movie's incredible.
Okay, incredible. So there's only a couple of things with that. Number one, Batman Begins is actually the beginning of Batman. So there's actually a Batman that we have from the very first time he went out.
Okay, but he's not. For example, and this is not giving the movie away to anybody who's listening to this.
Spoilers.
I did not realize, as somebody who is not that well versed in DC, I did not realize that that Batman always painted his face black under the mask.
Right.
When they remove the mask, they normally remove all the black makeup underneath. Uh-huh. In this movie, it's a darker side. He's awkward. He's weird. He's not great socially. Yeah. That to me is a beginning Batman. So yeah, Batman Begins might have been the beginning of it, but Christian Bale was still cool. That's not what Robert Pattinson brings to this role.
It's a different take.
Even the detective part, how we're seeing like
that's
the detective nature of it and why he's so close with Gordon and all of that. Like I learned to appreciate that kind of stuff.
Let me tell you,
I don't want to give too much away, but.
So, I mean, Batman Begins is about the beginning of Batman. This movie, I feel like, is a better movie about a year or two Batman because he struggles so much. Like the other Batman had been like trained by the League of Assassins, or the League of Shadows, shall I say. And because of all of that stuff, he had so many more skills than our guy has now. So it's different. It's good. The movie's good. The movie's good. I enjoyed it. It's different. Dark Knight is obviously a perfect film. It's different. The thing about Batman and his makeup is just because they would always get that wrong. Obviously, you could see that he had the black makeup, but when he'd take it off and it would be gone. That's actually fucked up on the movie's parts. This one stayed more true to form. It was great. I can't remember why I brought up the Batman. What were we talking about?
I don't either.
Donnie, what the fuck were we talking about?
No, we went from Sticky Bangs to Batman. I don't know.
Sticky Bangs, Batman. What
cultural,
the fuck?
Cultural appropriation.
Cultural appropriation, Sticky Bangs. But how did this have to do with Batman? I can't remember.
We're fed up with it.
We're fed up in it. We were in the Batman. Hold on.
You brought up the Batman.
You said you saw Batman yesterday. You went on a tangent. You said yesterday you saw Batman for the second time.
I saw Batman for the second time. I can't remember what the fuck the point was. Does anybody remember what the point was?
No. You only know the point, man. It was your point. You were going to make it. You started talking about Batman. And then I said, I've seen it. Let's do a detour.
I think I was so astounded by the fact that you were talking so unbelievably knowledgeable about the Batman.
Right? It's so good
that you lobotomized me. Fuck it. Fuck Sticky Bangs.
Put me on the reverse. Put me on the reverse. I guess I have to interview them.
This is why I was saying I remember now. So during the Batman, I saw the trailer for the Elvis movie came up. The Elvis movie looks fantastic. You don't want to see the Elvis movie? The Elvis movie, which looks fantastic. Every time I think about Elvis, right, I think, damn, niggas got it hard. Every single time I think about Elvis, like, niggas, we do something and we shake. Don't nobody swing no dick better than us. We get up there, we swing our hips, white boy do it. He's the greatest of all time.
Never been seen before.
You saw the girls and just going nuts. He's the best ever, right? And so I think that so much of this has happened to us that there's never going to be a time where we feel completely okay sharing culturally with white people anymore. I wonder if that time is coming. I wonder if there's a time where we're going to be like, yes. And because it used to be, you don't think it's coming. You don't think it's going to happen.
No, for what? Like, what gives us hope? We're constantly fighting certain things that are happening in this country. So now all of a sudden we're going to be like,
Sometimes we like it when white people do the shit that we do. If a white boy like can dance, if a white boy can
we stay just being in awe of a white person with rhythm. Like, we just lose our minds. You know what I mean? When what's his last name? I gotta think his last name. Oh my God, I'm not okay.
Baker Mayfield.
Thank you. I was gonna call him Mansfield. Baker Mayfield starts dancing. Oh my gosh. It's like, we've never seen it before. You guys, there are white people with rhythm. Like, can we move past that, please? A white person raps. It's so, you know, like, groundbreaking. Question, are you an Elvis fan?
He's cool. I used to watch Elvis movies when I was a kid. I like Elvis a little bit.
I don't get it.
You don't get what, Elvis?
I don't get the, you know, like, I guess body and gone
to jail.
It's other people's song. You know what I mean? I only like Fools Rush In. It's really the only Elvis song that I actually like. Uh-huh. Were you about to sing it? Go ahead.
You don't like A Little Less Conversation?
No.
A Little Less Conversation.
It's weird. He gets out of like control in it. It's like he loses himself in it. It's weird.
You know what that is?
The progression of that song is weird to me.
You know what that is? That's the nigga jumping out of him. That's what it is.
No, it's not. I don't see it.
So the nigga jumping out of him. Elvis is like, what Elvis has really done is he's trapped nigga spirits inside of him.
Whose spirits? And whose spirits would you say that he stole the most? Whose spirits did he steal the most?
Elvis was one of the monsters. He stole the spirit of Muddy Waters. He stole the spirit of Jackie Wilson. You know, he stole
Chuck
all of these.
Chuck Berry.
Well, Chuck was still alive, but Chuck just died. He still took his spirit. Also took his touring audience. So he did all of this stuff, and it was inside of him. They're trying to get free. I should write that. I should.
Okay, I helped you. Don't say anymore. Say no more. Keep it to yourself.
Where's my notepad? Whoa.
Keep it to yourself. Let's put it on pause. Send yourself a voice note. Keep it to yourself.
Kind of been done with Get Out.
Write it down.
Still could be done. Okay, I got it.
Write it down. This is a good idea. This is a really good idea.
It's a great idea. We came up with it. All right, this is fucked up.
From the minds of Rachel Lindsay.
From the minds of Rachel Lindsay and Van Lathan. New York activists filed complaint to stop merchants on Amazon from selling white privilege cards. Activists are calling on Amazon to remove what they are calling racist paraphernalia from its online shops. They say they are outraged about a white privilege card, Trump's everything, member since birth and good through death. It's in the shape of a credit card and is being sold on Amazon in 5, 10, 15 packs labeled as gag gifts. One of the reviews on Amazon from seller brand QASW states, "My husband loves whipping out his cart everywhere, and everyone loves it. All kinds of people. Everyone wants to know where they can get them. And this always opens up the conversation for the current administration's attitude and opinion." Interesting. The activists have also filed a complaint with the New York Commission on Human Rights. Reverend Kevin McCall has had a lot to say about the car, said Amazon should not be selling anything like this. They should not be selling Black history. Nobody, they're saying that if you buy this card, you get special privilege. No one is special privilege in this country. We are all equal, said McCall. Said they would continue to fight until the cards are no longer being sold. I don't think I understand this. Yeah, Donnie Trudy, everyone jump in. Is this something that like is to poke fun at white people, or is this something that racist white people are trying to sell? I don't think I quite get this. What's going on here?
I guess I
here?
Got it from the racist side, but you guys...
I think it's open for interpretation. Like, it's a card that says white privilege. So the card is acknowledging that white privilege exists, which I think racists like to deny. But it's a card that you hold out that says, hey, I've got white privilege. It trumps everything. I've been a member since birth, and it's good through death. And
but who are you showing it to? Who are you whipping it out and showing it to? You know what I mean? Like, in a club? To us? I don't to me, it's I don't know how to take
where do
this.
You where does the gag gift come up? Where does a card like this come up? What happens? What is it like? What you show this card where? Because I'm trying to figure out if I would be offended if someone presented me with that card as a joke. Because to Donnie's point, it almost is like the joke's on you, stupid bastard. We keep trying to tell
look
you.
Look who's holding it. Look who's holding the card. It's a black man.
Now, see, here's the deal. If a black man holds that card, then it's a funny joke.
It's a black man holding the card on Amazon.
Yeah, if a black man has the card, then it's a funny joke. Because then it's like maybe there's some sort of card or line of credit that we can get into to give us the same privileges as white people. I really don't know whether or not this is the first is this fucked up that I really don't know whether or not it's fucked up. I don't have a vote. Maybe people should vote. Maybe the dreaded Reddit should vote on whether or not it's fucked up. I don't know whether or not this is fucked up or not.
I think it's a joke. And if it's got a black man holding the card, it's supposed to be like weak. If we hold the cards, then we're okay. Like, this is the only way we're going to have that type of privilege. I guess that's what it's saying. It says this card grants its bearer happiness and success because it's the color of your skin and not the choices you make. Did you read this? And not the choices you make that determine your abilities to be successful.
See?
So we can all have this privilege if we have this card. That's what it's saying. The card holder's name is Scott Free.
So let's vote. Is this fucked up, Trudy?
Oh man, why do I have the first vote? Do I not know? Can I know who the creator of the card is? If it's a black person, it's not fucked up. If it's a white person, it's fucked up. I'm sorry.
I accept it. Donnie's Dungeon.
I don't think it's fucked up. I think it's fucked up in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
Yep.
I'll say no. Rach, what do you say?
It depends who's holding the card.
It depends. Isn't it always the case?
Yep. It depends who's holding the card. Let me look at some of these reviews. Let me see if there's anything really popping.
Amazon also sells official race cards. I see. You can pull a race card, and that one is black instead of white.
Oh, no. That's kind of funny. That's like somebody pulling up your card. No. That's
wait,
up.
What?
That's fucked up.
I think I get
Let's look
it.
At all the most racist shit that Amazon has.
Wait, what? Listen, this person on the review says, I bought this card because the leftist said it would help me get out of tickets and get free stuff.
Oh, no, it's fucked up. I'm sorry.
This was a lie. A cop will still give you a ticket for speeding.
Nah.
Who are the creators of the card? I feel like that is where you really figure out if it's fucked up or not fucked up.
I'm looking at Amazon has its fair share of racist shit. I'm not gonna lie. Like Amazon has its fair share of racist shit.
What did you type in so Amazon stupid. To even find it?
Just like I put racist on there. It's just different shit. KKK costumes.
Listen, this product is number 7 in business cards on Amazon.
I should have thought of it. I'm going to invent some shit like that.
Number 7.
All right. Look, guys. This is it. It's over. No more podcasts for today. I got to tell you guys something, though. We're really getting into our groove here at Higher Learning.
You feel it?
Yeah, man. We're getting into our groove here. We're moving on. The train is on the tracks. Like, I personally think that as we don't fucking listen to people. The better we go, the more we go, the more we say, fuck the haters, the better off we'll be. So all of us, we should all say, fuck the haters.
On
right?
3?
1, 2, 3.
Fuck the
Reddit.
You know what?
We're just joking. All right, take your thing caps off, but do not stop learning. We are going to come back and update you guys in the situation in Ukraine when we come back. I will like to say this in a very serious note. I've heard everyone's opinions on Twitter about the calling Ukraine, the Ukraine. I've heard it. I'm not too pig-headed to listen to it. I understand what it means for the sovereignty of the people of Ukraine and how dropping that the is so important. And I'm going to make sure that as much as I can, every single time that I speak with precision and with accuracy on who the people are and what it is that they are going through. All right. So I would like to apologize for having said the Ukraine when I said the Ukraine. I would like to apologize for that. Okay. I'm Van Lathan Jr.
I'm Rachel and Lindsay.
And we are out.